Today's daf is Baba Basra daf Ayin. We left off on the bottom of daf Samach Tes Amid Beis, and we're in the middle of discussing if a person sells a field, but he leaves out the trees from the sale. So we're going to discuss what exactly does that mean when he leaves out ilanos, which ilanos are excluded and which ilanos are included. Then the Gemara is going to have a shaila that normally when you sell a field, we had already said that you're leaving out the mature charuv and shikma trees, that those are considered chashuv enough that they're considered excluded from the sale. But what if you specifically say, I'm selling the entire field except for a specific charuv or a specific shikma? Well, they're anyway excluded from the sale. So what are you trying to say about the rest of the charuv and shikma trees? Are you trying to say that they are included against the standard practice? Or are you saying, no, I'm excluding this one along with all of the others? Then the Gemara is going to have an ikadamri where the shaila is a little bit different. You don't say I'm leaving out a charuv, you say I'm leaving out half of a charuv. So clearly all the other charuvin are also excluded. What about the other half of that charuv? Is that excluded from the sale as well? Then the Gemara is going to have a discussion on the bottom of Amud Aleph. If a mafkid has a shtar that he has given a pikadon to the nifkad, is the nifkad believed to say, I already gave it back to you? I already gave back the item that you gave me. Or do we say, no, if you already gave it back, shtar chabiyad in my body, why do I have the shtar still? So that's going to be a machlokas, and the Gemara is going to try to relate that machlokas to a machlokas whether someone can collect the full amount of an iska from Yisomim, meaning when you give an iska, the assumption is that it's palga milva and palga pikadon, that half of it is given as a loan, and iska is you're investing money with somebody. You're giving them money, they're supposed to split whatever profits that money makes. So the assumption is that it's palga milva, palga pikadon. So there's going to be a machlokas whether you can collect the full amount of an iska from Yisomim, or you can only collect the palga milva part, but not the palga pikadon part. So we're going to try to suggest that machlokas relates to the machlokas about whether a nifkad is believed to say hichzar tivlach. So that's going to be the last thing we really do on the daf today. So let's begin. We are holding two lines on the bottom, last word on the line, samach tes amud beis. Amar Rav, kol she'olam lo b'chevel avishir. So we're still talking about cases where you leave out the ilanos from the sale. So what's considered a significant enough ilan that it would be considered independent and left out from the sale of a field? Any tree that you would need to climb with climbing equipment, because the branches themselves aren't enough or the tree is not low enough, that you would need climbing equipment in order to climb the tree and pick the peros off of that tree, that we assume is excluded from the sale. The Rashbam on the bottom of the page, Amar Rav kol she'olin le'el ka'i heichadam le'levar me'ilani. This is going back on the case where you say, I'm selling the field except for the ilanos. V'kamefarish Rav, elu hein ilanos she'shier. Which trees are you leaving out? Shim ketanim he'mar be'lo mikri ilani. If they're very tiny trees, then they're not called ilanos, so they're not excluded. V'lo garsin le'var me'dikli ve'ilani Amar Rav u'pirush be'almahu. So we have the girsa as we have it. Kol sholom lebechevel lelakit perosav chashav ilan. What's considered a chashav tree? A tree that you would have to climb up using equipment in order to pick the fruits. Ubedekel ma'iri kinim farish kamesh shagavah harbe perosav broshav. We're obviously talking about a palm tree, so it's very, very high, and the peros are all the way at the top, so it's difficult to get to the top of the tree. But the Gemara continues, kol she'enol lebechevel lo havishir. If it does not take any climbing equipment in order to get to the top of the tree, that is not considered to be excluded from the sale. That's included in the sale of the field. That is Rav's opinion. But v'dayane gola amri. The dayane gola have a different geder, a different way of measuring what's a significant enough tree to be excluded and what is not a significant enough tree to be excluded. Dayane gola said, kol sha'ol kovsho lo avishir. Kol she'ena ol kovsho havishir. It depends whether when they used to plow the area around the tree, they would have an ox pulling a plow, so it would have all this equipment on it, and it would have a yoke on its back, and it would have to walk around the area of the tree, and there are branches that would get in its way. How would the branches interact with the yoke as it was trying to pass by? If it's the all is kovsha, which means, as Rashbam points out, if the all would bend the tree, and the shor would just continue going, the branches were still soft enough that they would bend and then they would bend back. So the tree wouldn't prevent the ox from going around the area. Lo chashiv. Then it's not a chashiv enough tree to be considered an independent, and therefore it's included in the sale. But Rashbam points out, if these are the only trees in the field, then and you said that I'm selling you the field except for the ilanos, then it has to be that these are excluded, even though they may happen to be very small trees. But if it's a tree that ain't ol kovsho, that the branches are already hardened and there's no way the ox would get past, it would not allow the passage of the ox because the branches are not going to bend out of the way, that's a significant enough tree that we assume that that is excluded from the sale. So we have Rav gives one geder of what's considered a significant enough tree. He talks about the height of the tree and how you'd be able to climb the tree, and the Dayanei Gola give a different geder of what's considered a significant enough tree, and they talk about the softness of the branches of the tree being the determining factor. Says Gemara v'lo pligi, it's not really a machlokas. Habedikli, habi'ilani. Rav is talking about a dekel tree. Dekel trees are very high, and the fruits are all the way at the top, so he discusses just how high it would have to be in order to be excluded, whereas the Dayanei Gola are talking about other types of trees. They're not talking about a dekel tree, so the branches are always going to be much lower, but they still might be excluded from the sale if they are already hardened and they're significant branches. Now, who are these Dayanei Gola? So Rashbam on the top of the page writes, Shmuel v'Karna, Perakam de Sanhedrin. There is a sugi in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Zayin, that goes through a lot of times when we give a title to certain people, so Hahusaba or something like that. So who is it when we say throughout Shas? So whenever we have Dayanei Gola throughout Shas, Rashbam tells us that the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that it is referring specifically to Shmuel and Karna. Rashi on the Rif says the same thing. Nemuke Yosef says the same thing. Little problem though. The if you look in our Girsa, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it says Karna. It doesn't say Shmuel. So where they got that it's Shmuel and Karna? The Yad Malachi writes that you have to say that the Rashbam had a different Girsa in the Gemara, but he says he can't find any such Girsa. Furthermore, Shmuel lived in Nahardaa, so why would that dafka be called the Dayanei Gola? So the Yad Malachi explains that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah of Gimel and Beis is clear that Gola is Pumbadisa. So it would seem strange that Shmuel would be considered one of the Dayanei Gola. He was not a Dayan in Pumbadisa. Okay, but whoever it was, this was what seemed like two different opinions, but really they're just describing different types of trees. What would be considered a significant enough tree to be left out of the sale? Mishnah Lemelech in Hilchos Mechira Perech Avdalin raises the following suffix. What if a person says, I'm selling the field Chutz Me'ilanos, and the field had very tall dekel trees that you would need to use equipment to climb all the way up, and it has small trees that the whole kavshan that you can get, the ox will be able to get by. Do we say that that he was mishayer the dekalim because they are the tall trees, or do we say he was mishayer the ilanos because what he said in the deal was, I'm selling you the field chutzmin ha'ilanos? And remember, the last thing we learned yesterday was, if you say chutzmin ilanos and you have a dekel and you have ilanos, you probably mean except for the ilanos, because an ilan is more likely to be called an ilan than a dekel is to be called an ilan. So now we have a different halacha, that if a dekel is really significant, that's excluded from the sale when you say chutz min ilanos. Yeah, but what if those two rules contradict each other? I mean, you have ilanos and you have a dekel, so on the one hand you said chutz min ilanos, maybe the ilanos should be excluded. On the other hand, the dekel is this significant tree, so we said the dekel is always what we intend to exclude. So the Mishnah Lemelech writes that misvara, he probably meant to exclude only the ilanos, because when there are other ilanos, the dekelim would not have been called ilanos. However, not all, he points out that it doesn't seem that way from all of the Rishonim. It's just a Pashna Ha'ara that one has to ask when you learn these two lines of Gemara that seem to raise what might be this conflict. Okay, third line from the top, last run line. Boy mine ravacha barhuna me rav sheshes. Chutz me chorav ploni, chutz me sadan ploni mahu. Normally when you sell a field, automatically the charuvin and the sadinim are excluded from the sale. But what if you identify, except for this charuv tree, except for this sadin, what's the din? Also, charuv udlokani, yashar charuvim kani, is that a roundabout way of saying that I'm including all the other charuv and sadin trees, which normally would not be included? Or does the din remain like it always is, that the charuvin and the sadin are automatically not included in the sale? Amalei lo kana. So he said, no, it doesn't. There, you're not kona the rest. Just because you identified one that you're not including in the sale does not mean that the others are included. They're all excluded from the sale, just as the din would be if you didn't identify any of them. Esve chutz mecharuv ploni, chutz misadan ploni, lo kana. But wait a second, we learned in the Braisa that if you say chutz mecharuv ploni or chutz misadan ploni, you are not kona. My love, also charuv ud lo kana, shar charuvin kana. Doesn't that mean to say that you're not kona that charuv, but the other charuvin you are kona? Difficult to understand why the Gemara would understand that that would be the pashut pshat, meaning it's exactly the case of our shaila. Our shaila was chutz mecharuv ploni, chutz misadan ploni. So mehechi tesi, that lo kana means that only that one. But the Gemara is assuming, yeah, that's what it means, that lo kana, you're not kona that one, but the rest of them you are kona. So I'm like, lo, afilu shach ruven nami lo kana. No, who says that you're kona, that the rest of them, you are kona? No, when it says lo kana, it means you're not kona any of them. Not this one, not any other one. Teda, and I'll prove it to you. I'll prove to you that when you identify a specific charuv tree that you're leaving out, that really you're still leaving out all the other charuvin as well. Because I'll give you a similar case. Dilu amar lai sadai mechurulach, chutz misada plonis. Let's say you say, I'm selling you my field over here in New York, except for my field in Los Angeles. What? My field in New York, except for my field in Los Angeles? I may own fields all over the world, but our negotiation, our whole discussion is about the property that I'm selling you in New York. But I just, for some reason, I throw in there, except for my field in Los Angeles. Does that mean you have purchased my field in Texas? So ahiu delo kani, harchinasa kani. No, what, you think that you're not kona the field in Los Angeles, but you are kona the field in Texas? The whole discussion was about the property in New York. It wasn't about any other property. Ella lo kana. No, we assume that it means that you're not kona any other property either. So achanami lo kana. This is exactly the same thing. We would say over here as well that you're that you're not kona. If you look in the Rashbam, ha'achrini kani bitmia v'lo sadachas machalo v'lo ashar. How could it possibly be that you'd be kona the field in Texas? I'm only selling you a property in New York. I'm not selling you anything else. It's obvious that you're not kona anything else. Elo kani achanami lo kani. So the same is true over here. When I say that I'm excluding the charuv, it doesn't mean that I'm including the other charuv, and I'm excluding the other charuvin as well. The Kikai Diana points out that it's not exactly a great parallel. You know, if I'm selling you a field in New York, the field in New York has absolutely nothing to do with the field in Texas. Why would you associate the two? But I'm selling you my field, which has trees in it. The trees are in the property itself. So it's true. Normally those trees are excluded from the sale because they're such chashva pieces of property in their own right. Okay, granted, but they're in the property. It's not like it's totally out of left field that those trees would be included in the sale. So the comparison is a little bit difficult to understand. If you look at the next Rashbam, he has an important ha'ara. Elo kani hachanami lo kani. We said that you're not kona the property in Texas. You're obviously. So you're also, you're not kona the other charuv trees. Kolomar. Elo pshita lon delo kani alokeach shar sados. It's obvious that you're not kona the other properties that I may own around the world. Mocher sadachas lo mocher kol sados. If I'm selling you one property, I'm not selling you all of my properties. What? Because the guy says some idiotic thing. He's selling a property in New York. Why does he bother mentioning the property that he has in Los Angeles? Oh, by the way, you're not getting my Los Angeles property. Of course you're not. You're discussing the New York property. It's a shtus that he's throwing in. There's no reason for it to be there. Chutz misad deploni. Just because he says such a shtus, ein lo nolomar shemachar mashal arotza limkar. We can't say because he threw in that shtus that he's also including other things in the sale that we have no indication that he means to include in the sale. The sadachas niskavim limkar v'lo shtei sados. He was only intending to sell one field and not two fields. So that's a question. How much do we take into account when a person says something that seems completely out of left field in a deal? Do we start reading into why is that included over here? What's it doing in the lashon of the contract? So the Mukhe Yosef writes that we see from here that we're not medayik when a person says things that are going to work against him unless he makes very clear exactly what he means. And we always assume that it's a shtus, that it's just something that doesn't mean anything. And that's what the Sma writes in his commentary on Choshem Mishpat Siminayin Hey, and the Tumim, they quote this in Mukhe Yosef. In the Sefer Shari Torah Chukei Mishpat, he writes that this klal only applies when it's a deal between two people, two individuals, and they're speaking Beinam Levein Atzmam. They're speaking amongst each other. That's when we say that they say something stupid, so it's just something stupid, not to read too much into it. But anytime someone says something in Beis Din, so we always assume that every word in Beis Din has been measured carefully, and a person is not motzi devar of levatala. So when a person says something in Beis Din, it's going to be a whole different attitude that we take toward a shtus that a person might say in Beis Din. And the raya that he brings is from the Torah and the Mechaber and Simon Pei Aleph, that if a person is mod b'fnei Beis Din, he's not able to say mishata nibach, I was just joking around, because ain't other mishata b'Beis Din. A person doesn't make jokes in Beis Din. The Shach says mistama, when a person is mod b'fnei Beis Din, there has to be an absolute raya that there was some reason that he would have said something as a joke and not meant it seriously. There are certain occasions where just doesn't call for a joke. So that's what this Acharon suggests, that maybe this idea of that we ignore a shtus that a person says, maybe that's only true when it comes to when it comes to individuals dealing with each other. Okay, says the Gemara further. The Ikadami, there's another version of this entire discussion. The other version of the discussion goes, Rav Acha Bar Huna me Rav Sheshes. Rav Acha Bar Huna asked the following from Rav Sheshes. Chutz mechatzi charev ploni. Chutz mechatzi sudden ploni mahu. What if he left out chatzi? He left out half of the charev. Half of that sudden. Shar charuvin vade lo kani. We know the other charuvin are also not included in the sale. That we know. But hamash ashir ba'oso charuv kani. Do we say that the other half of that charuv tree is included in the sale? Or do we say no, even the other half of that tree that he has left out half of it, even that's not included in the sale, and the whole thing is a shtus that he says that I'm leaving out half of the tree, because you're leaving out all of this tree and every other tree as well. Samalei lo kani, he's not kona the other half. So the Gemara again asks, Eisvei chutz michatzi charuv ploni, chutz michatzi sadan ploni, shar charuvin lo kana. It says that you're not kona the other charuvin. My love, shar charuvin lo kana hamashashir ba also charuv kana. Doesn't that imply, that's right, you're not kona the other charuvin, but the other half of this charuv? Doesn't it imply that you are kona the other half? Amalei lo. No, it doesn't imply anything. You're not kona the other half of this tree either. Teda, and the raya is diilu amalei sade mechurlach chutz mi chatzi sade ploni. Let's say I tell you I'm selling you my property in New York, but not half of my property in Los Angeles. What? Hu du lo kana ha'idach kana? Do you think that now you own the other half of my property in Los Angeles? Absolutely not. The deal wasn't about any property in Los Angeles whatsoever. So lo kani. Yachanami, Lokani. So if it's not going to be Kona over there, the other half of the property in Los Angeles over here also, you're not going to be Kona the other half of the tree, even though I only identified one half of this tree to be excluded from the sale. There is Machlokes Rishonim, a person sells Karka, and there are Charuvim or Sadanim that are not included in the sale. So we had we're going to have a sheet of Rabbi Akiva that a Mocher has to Tzorich Likach Lo Derech, that the seller, yeah, I'm not including the trees in the sale, the trees are still mine. How am I going to get to those trees? So Rabbi Kiva's shita is, I can't walk through, I just sold you the property, so I can't just trespass on the property every day. Rabbi Kiva's shita is, I now have to purchase the rights to access my trees. The mocher, tzorich likach lo derech. So is that only when it comes to the items that we're going to mention in the Mishnah tomorrow, when the items that are not included in the sale, like a bar, a dus, those things, a gas, a shovach, those things are not included in the sale? Or is it also by this case? Is it also about this tree? Meaning, Rabbi Akiva's shita is that when I'm excluding certain things within the property from the sale, I need to pay to access them. So there were specific items in the Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva spoke of. What about over here? If we're saying that the charuv is excluded from the sale, would Rabbi Akiva still say that you need to purchase the right to access them? So the Rashbam's shita is that Rabbi Akiva, yeah, in Achinami, it's whatever's not included in the sale, according to Rabbi Akiva, you're going to have to purchase the right to access those things. And that's the shita of the Ramban as well, the shita of the Rashbam is that according to the Rabbi Akiva said also by Ilanos that they're not included in the Mechira, and according to Rabbi Akiva, you want to leave yourself a derech. The Rashba writes that he would have said, if not for the Rashbam, that Rabbi Akiva would be moda that when you mocher karka and you leave yourself ilanos, that you are mishayu yourself the karka, and that you don't have to purchase the right, that you can go access the trees whenever you want. And he uses that to explain a Gemara that we're going to see tomorrow. But just how far Rabbi Akiva's shita goes, whether it applies to this sugya, seems to be a machlokas Rishonim. There's also an interesting point that Rishonim don't make over here, and that is that the poskim, the Rif, the Rambam, don't quote this entire Gemara. They don't quote this whole idea of chutz mecharav ploni, chutz mechatzi charav ploni, none of it. They leave the whole sugya out. So the Ramban explains that they hold that the whole sugya is only said according to the shita of the Chachamim, that a mocher is ba'ayin ra'u hu mocher. And when a person sells a field and there are ilanos that are not sold together with the field, the person has already left himself a derech to be able to access that those trees that he's excluding from the sale. So we don't have to say that when he said chutz mecharav ploni, that when he said chutz mecharav ploni, that he's being meshayer derech, because anyway he's being meshayer derech. So it must be that he's being meshayer the trees themselves. But lahalacha, we all like Rabbi Akiva, that a mocher is ba'ayin yafu mocher, and that a person is going to have to purchase the rights to access whatever he's excluding from the sale. So when he says chutz mecharav ploni, what he might be saying is the derech of charav ploni, and therefore this whole sugya becomes irrelevant. Meaning, this whole sugya is about which tree is he talking about when he says chutz mecharav ploni? Doesn't mean all the other trees, the other half of this tree. No, he's probably not talking about a charav at all. The charuvin anyway are excluded. When he says chutz mecharav ploni, he's probably talking about, and I am also leaving out a derech for myself so that I'll be able to get to my tree, because if I don't say that, I don't get that. If I don't say that, according to Rabbi Akiva, I'm gonna have to purchase the derech separately. So that's how the Ramban explains why the Rif and the Rambam leave this sugya out. They think the whole sugya is shaloka halacha, that the whole sugya doesn't apply la halacha based on the psak of Rabbi Akiva that we're going to learn about tomorrow, Be'ezras Hashem. Okay, last skinny line on the page. Boi minei Rav Amram me Rav Chista. Rav Amram asked the following shayla from Rav Chista. Hamafkir etzal chaveru b'shtar. If a person gives someone a pikadon, Reuven gives Shimon a pikadon, and there's a shtar that says, I have given you this pikadon to watch for me. Va'amalo hichzartim lach. And then when Reuven comes to ask for his pikadon back, Shimon Shimon says, I already gave it back to you. Mahu, do we believe Shimon that he already gave it back to Reuven? Mi amrin migu di bayamar nansu mehemin. Do we say, well, any shomer could always be believed with a tainus onus? He has to take a shvua, but any shomer could just say that something was nanas. So since Shimon could have said it was nanas, so hashtanami mehemin, so now that he's saying I gave it back to you, he should also be believed, meaning that's a migo, that since he could have been believed with a different taina, so believe him with this taina. Oh, Dilmor, maybe, no, I'm le shtar chabiyadi my bai. Or maybe you can say, well, why do I have your shtar? Why do I have a shtar that says, if you really give it back to me, wouldn't you have asked for the shtar back, that so that I wouldn't have an outstanding shtar against you, that you have my pikadum? So, yeah, it's true you would have been believed to say nanas, but you didn't. You said that you gave it back to me. And there's the shtar that says that you didn't give it back to me. If you look in the Rashbam writes, Bishtar shekasav kami hifkad lo v'chasmu be'edim. What's the value of the shtar? If the guy could always just get out of it by saying nanas, the value of the shtar is that he's not going to be believed to say lahadam, because that's vaday against the shtar. I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, how come you didn't ask for the shtar back? I'm not denying that the shtar ever existed, but if I say lahadam, I say lohay dvar me'olam, the whole thing never happened. Well, the shtar says otherwise. That's at least the value of the shtar. Vaiter in the Rosh Pram Nifkad Hayom Lamachar Zartilach Mahu Da Kaimel Becheskes Habatim Da Mafkides Chaveru Beedim Ein Tzarech Lachzer Beedim. Rosh Pram says, you know, this, we have to be making an assumption over here about when someone gives a pikadon with Edim, does it have to be returned with Edim or not? Meaning, if you're going to assume that whenever someone gives a pikadon with Edim, it has to be returned with Edim, so of course the guy can't say, I returned it to you. How can you say return? Where are the Edim that you returned it? You need to return it with Edim. If we have Edim here with the shtar that says that I gave it to you as a pikadon, so you're going to need Edim that you returned it to me. So says Rosh Pram, we have to be assuming, like the shita, that a mafkas chaver be'edim ain't sarach lachzir be'edim, that you don't have the responsibility of returning it with edim. You could return it without edim. Aval hachadika shtar biyad mafkid. But now that the mafkid has a shtar, mi amrin dachinami mehemen migo di yibay yamar nensu v'av mehemenu b'shvua k'dil kaman. Should we say that maybe he should be believed just because he could have said hashtanami? We could all say over here that he's going to be believed. That is the shita of the Rashbam. That this whole sugya is based on the idea that a mafkid etzach be'edim ain sarach lachziro be'edim. However, Tosos and Daf Mem Hayam and Beis quotes a machlokas Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Chananel that according to the Man Yomar, a mafkid etzach be'edim sarach lachziro be'edim, are you neman with a migo to get out of it? I mean, yeah, generally you do have to pay back with Edom. And you didn't. You said, I gave it back without Edom. But you have a migo that helps you. You have a migo that you could have said ones. Rabbeinu Tam's shita is that through a migo you'd be potter even though you didn't give it back with Edom. It's only when you don't have a migo that you're not neman to say you gave it back with Edom. So that's against this Rashbam. This Rashbam says that our whole sugya only works if you assume that you had no responsibility to give back with Edom. Says Rabbeinu Tam, even if you did have a responsibility to give it back with Edom, still you're going to be believed because you have a migo on your side. However, Rabbeinu Chananel says, no, even with a migo, you're not going to be believed. So that is the machlokas between the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Chananel on the one side and Rabbeinu Tam on the other side. Okay, so says the Gemara, what's the halacha in this case? Again, Reuven gives Shimon a pikadon. He has a shtar that he gave Shimon a pikadon. Shimon says, I already returned it. Shimon could have said, I was an ones, and he would have been believed, but he's not saying that. He's saying, I already returned it. So Amalei Mehemen. The answer was, Rav Chista responds, he's believed. It's okay. He's allowed to say, I already returned it. Why can't Reuven say to Shimon, oh yeah, if you already returned it, why do I still have the shtar? Shouldn't you have asked for the shtar back when you returned it? What if he would have said that it was an ones? Would he be able to say shtar chabiyadi my bai? Meaning, if it was an ones, there's no tain of shtar chabiyadi my bai. So now also there's no tain of shtar chabiyadi my bai. Whoa, what does that mean? If there's an ones, there's no tain of shtar chabiyadi my bai because there was never a time I could ask for the shtar back. I never gave it back to you. I'm just saying that, you know, some crazy thing happened. Lightning struck and hit it, whatever it was that I was watching. straight on and just burned it or something. Some crazy thing happened. So there was never a time I could ask for the shtar back. So of course you can't have a tainah shtar chabiyadi maybayi in that case. But when I'm saying that I gave it back to you, so shouldn't there still be a tainah shtar chabiyadi maybayi? So the Rashbam explains over here, third to last line, Hilkach lamatzi lamitzi mafkid shtar chabiyadi maybayi v'lamili l'shakir b'makom edim lo dami taha avid inish l'midchi v'amra vadati ashtari. Rashbam is saying now what we're saying over here is, I'll tell you why I didn't ask for the shtar back. When I returned it to you, I had no need to ask for the shtar back. Because here's what happened. Maybe I requested, can you give me back the shtar? And you said, I don't have it with me now. And I still gave you back the pikadon. Why would I do that? Why would I still give you back the pikadon if you're not giving me back the shtar? Because I know that I have an easy way to get out of the fact that you have a shtar. I could have just always tied the ne'enas. And with ne'enas, there's no reyus of shtar chabiyad in my body, because there's no reason to ask for the shtar back. So I'm not worried. I'm not worried about your shtar when I give it back to you, because I know in the back of my mind, I always have in my arsenal, I always have ne'enas as a taina that I can use, and then your shtar is not going to mean anything. So since I always have that in the back of my mind, so that's why I'm not worried about the shtar. That's why we're not worried about the shtar, and there's no taina of shtar chabiyad in my bayi. So that is the way Rashbam understands. That is not the way all the other Rishonim understand, but we'll stick with the Rashbam for now. So Amar Leh, sof kamel inensu lav shua bayi. Still, this migo is a strange migo. Why, you're going to believe the guy to say he returned it because he could have said it was nanas. Yeah, and if he would have said it was nanas, then he would have to take a shvua that there was nanas. You can't just say that there was nanas. You have to take a shvua. So shouldn't we have to make the guy who says chsartiv take a shvua as well? So says Gemara Achinami, my neman, neman b'shvua. You're right, in Achinami. That's exactly what we mean. When we say neman, it means you're Neman, but only with a Shavua. That in a Chinami, of course you have to take a Shavua. Good, period. So that was, so what we essentially had was, if a person, if Reuven gives a Pikadon to Shimon, and Shimon, and Reuven has a Shtar that Shimon has his Pikadon, and Shimon says, I already returned the Pikadon to you, Machlokas, whether Shimon is believed to say such a thing. Says the Gemara, Lema biplukta dani tanai. Maybe that aligns with the machlokas tanayim that we learned elsewhere. Ditanya, we have a machlokas tanayim that goes as follows. Shtar kis hayotze al yisomim. Let's say I invested money with the father of these yisomim. What does it mean I invested money? I gave him whatever it is, I gave him $100,000, and he was supposed to use that money for an investment, and we were going to split the profits from the investment. Whoa, that sounds a lot like ribbis. How am I allowed to do that? He's going to give me back the $100,000 plus. So no, we assume automatically, and that's the Ha'ara, the Rishonim point out over here, the Yad Rama says, that the Gemara doesn't even go into the details. It's an automatic assumption that the deal is that it's a palga milva, palga pikadon. We automatically assume that when I give him $100,000, $50,000 is a loan, and that he's going to have to give him back no matter what. I don't care if the second he walks out with the money, lightning strikes and, I don't know why I keep using that example, but lightning strikes and burns up all the money or something crazy happens. It doesn't make any difference. He's responsible. When he borrows the money, even on an onus, he's responsible for it. That's half of it. $50,000 no matter what, he's going to have to pay me back. The other $50,000 is a pikadon. So pikadon follows normal rules of a pikadon. I give you, you're a shomer. I asked you to watch something for me. So as a pikadon, that's the way we view the entire investment, that it's palga milva, palga pikadon. So it's not going to be a ribbis issue because of the pikadon side of it. That's how you get it, that the profits are coming from the pikadon side and not from the milva side of it. Good. So you have the following machlokas. Shtar kis hayotze al yisomim. I go to the yisomim and I say, I gave your father $100,000 to invest, so I want the money back. Dayane gola amri nishba v'gova kula. The dayane gola say, I can swear and collect all $100,000. The dayane Eretz Yisrael amri nishba v'gova mechza. Then Eretz Yisrael say, no, I can get my loan back. I can't get the pikadon back, meaning the $50,000 that was a loan, that I can get from the yisomim as well. But the other $50,000 that was a pikadon, I can't get back from the yisomim. Why? What are they arguing about? Why would I or wouldn't I be able to retrieve the $50,000 that was a pikadon? So what we want to suggest is that it's exactly our machlokas about whether a person person is neman to say exartiv lach migo that he could have said ne'enas on a pikadam. How so? Udukuli alma isluhu dinardai. Everyone holds of what Nardai hold. What? Damar Nardai? Hayiska Palgamilva Palga Pikadon. Everyone assumes that the deal is automatically. It's Palgamilva Palga Pikadon. That's the assumption. That's the automatic assumption. My lab Balkamivli. Damar Savar Matsiyamle Shtar Chabiyadi. My Bayi. Umar Savar Lo Amri. One opinion says, well, as long as I have a Shtar that says that you haven't paid me back yet, and that the Pikadon. So there's no taina that you're going to be able to say to get out of it. Meaning you're not going to be able to say, Zartiv Lach, I already gave it back to you. The father wouldn't be able to say that he already gave it back to you. So the kids can't say that the father already gave it back. So I still have the shtar. Whereas the other opinion, that's why I'm able to collect the full amount. Whereas the other sheet would say, no, I'm only able to collect half of the amount because we don't care that I still have the shtar. There is no tain of shtar chabiyadi mai bayi. The migo that the father could have said, ne'enas, the father is believed to say that ichzartiv. So for the children, we'll make such a taina of exartiv. The Rashi just points out that l'chora one could have asked, how could you say that the reason for the dayana gol is because he says shtarchu biyadi mai bayi? Shtarchu biyadi mai bayi is if I give you a pikadon and you claim you gave me back the pikadon, why didn't you ask for the shtar back? But over here it was more than that. I gave $100,000. It was $50,000 pikadon, $50,000 of a loan. You know why I didn't give you the shtar back when you paid me back when you paid me back the pikadon? Because there was still a milvah, there was still another $50,000, and that everyone agrees is still outstanding. That for sure you have to pay back. So maybe that's the answer to Shtarchu Biyadi Mai Bayi. Why would Shtarchu Biyadi Mai Bayi be a taina in this case, considering that everyone agrees it hasn't all been paid back? So the Rashba writes, no, but still it's a taina because I wouldn't let you hold on to a shtar that says that I owe you $100,000 if I only owe you $50. Meaning we would have torn it up or written a new one or written a shovar or something. So shtar chaviyad may buy is still a reasonable taina in that case. So that's what the Gemara is suggesting. Maybe these two machlokos perfectly parallel each other. Says Gemara, lo. Maybe these two machlokos do not perfectly parallel each other. Maybe really everyone holds of Rav Chista. Everyone holds like Rav Chista that the nifkad is believed to say I gave it back. Migo that he could have said it was an ones. Even against the tain of Shtarchu Biyadi Mai Bayi. There is no tain of Shtarchu Biyadi Mai Bayi. What are they arguing about over here? V'hacha b'hacha mithli. Over here, whether you can collect the half that's a pikadon from the Yisomim is a machlokas because of the following. Demar Savar, the Dayane Gola hold that you can collect the half that's the pikadon, and the Yisomim cannot get out of it by saying that their father paid it back because of a very simple reason. Dim Isa depare meimar hava omar. If their father really did pay it back, he would have said something at the time of his death to instruct his children, if someone comes after you for this money, you should know that I paid it back. So the fact that the kids aren't saying that, they're not saying that their father told them that he paid it back, we can't make that taina for them because the father should have said something. Umar Sabah, the Dariar, it's so old that the fact that the father didn't say anything is not a raya at all. Amor Malach HaMavasudan say, they'll just say, the Dayan Yartzol will say, you know why the father didn't say anything? He wasn't planning on dying. When he woke up that morning, he didn't have on his schedule that he was going to die that day. It could be that something happened last minute and he died suddenly, and therefore it's not a raya that he didn't say anything. So the Ritva writes, okay, and what if he died benachas and not bepitom? What if, he died expectedly, not unexpectedly? So you say, we still assume that he wasn't expecting to die that day. Meaning he may have been ill for a long time. He may have thought that he has a week left. He may have thought that he has some time. He was planning on having a conversation later. Still, it's not muchach 100%. That's the... So that's really what's behind the machlokas between Dayanei Gola and Dayanei Eretz Yisrael. So now the Gemara brings two dinim that Rav Huna Bar Avin says that seem to be a stira with each other. Shalach Rav Huna Bar Avin hamafkiretz al chaver b'shtar v'amalo chzartiv lach. If a person gives a pikadon with a shtar, and then he says, "Oh, and I already gave it back," Neman. He's believed to say he's believed that he gave it back because he could have said Tainus Ones. Good. So that's what we said on Amud Aleph, that there is such a shita that since Migo that he could have said Ones, he's believed to say I gave it back, even though you still have the shtar. V'shtar kis hayotze al yisomin nishba v'gova kulo. But the other psak halacha that he said is that when you have a shtar kis hayotze al yisomin, that I claim that that I gave an investment with the father of these yisomin, so I can swear and collect the entire amount. So Tarti, how could you say both of those dinim? If the nifkar is believed to say that he returned the pikadon, shouldn't we make that taina on behalf of the yisomim as well, that the father returned the pikadon? So it says, no, shani yasim, demisa depari, mei mehava amar. Maybe we're assuming, like we just said, that if he really did pay it back, then the father would have said something to them. Rava amar hilchasa nishba v'gova mechza. Rava says, end of the day, bottom line, the halacha is that the mafkid takes a shavua, and he collects only the half that's a milva. He does not get to collect the half that's a pikadon. Amr Marzutra hilchsa k'dayane gola. Marzutra says we paskin like the dayane gola, which is that he's able to take all of the money back, even the palga pikadon. Amr le Ravina le Marzutra. So Ravina said to Marzutra, Ham Rava nishbav gov mechza. How can you say that we paskin like the dayane gola? Rava said explicitly not that way. Rava said that it's nishbav gov mechza. Amr le anan dayane gola ipcha masinun la. I had a different tradition of what the dayane gola said. I thought the dayane gola said exactly that it's nishbav. That would explain, that's what the Kosi Shulz points out, that would explain why Rava, instead of just paskining that I hold like the Dayan Eretz Yisrael, was very explicit, Nishba v'gova mechza, because there was already some confusion about who exactly had said what. Okay, Bezrem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah.